following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Corolla Classics is brought to you by Tommy John. That's right, because working from home used to be the fantasy of every professional. You get to hang out. You don't have to drive anywhere. But turns out it's really not that comfortable unless you're wearing Tommy John, right, Gio?
Exactly. I've been working home for years, and I had no idea what I was missing until I switched out all of my underwear to Tommy John, all my undershirts, all my boxer briefs, cool cotton, second skin, my two favorites. It will change your life.
That's right. You want to be as comfortable as possible when working from home so you can focus on what you're doing and do it in style and comfort. It's perfect. Thankfully, Tommy John knows life has its ups and downs, so they've improved their men's underwear, making it more resilient to wear and tear, and it's now two times more durable. It's still super soft and breathable, but now even more reliable and comfortable. And guess what? Tommy John is offering customers 25% off site-wide. All you got to do is hurry to TommyJohn.com/classics and get 25% off your order. That's TommyJohn.com/classics for 25% off orders. See site for details. Get some Tommy John and treat yourself. Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for May 30th, 2020. The show where we highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show by playing you clips from his 11-plus years of podcasting. Incredible. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
That's right, I'm always with you. When you see one set of footprints, I'm carrying you, Chris.
That's right, you're the other footprint. Thank you, Gio, for carrying me around. All right, before we get started with some clips, I want to remind everybody to learn more about Geico's 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies. Just go to geico.com/giveback.
All right, I'm a customer. I got my 15%. You better check it out.
So easy. It's Geico easy. All right, we had a great week of ACS. Thanks to everybody who came out in Houston. The Houston shows went off. Also, if you haven't already checked out Judd Apatow's interview yesterday, please do so. And Ed Calderon. Man, strong week this week.
Very strong.
Yeah. But let's take it back to 2013, when Adam had one of his most famous rants / complaints, and it was about Barack Obama's State of the Union.
It was the 2013 State of the Union. There's a listener request from Bones32 on Twitter. Let's check it out. Adam Carolla Show 1013. This episode featured Sasha Gray, Kenny Hotz, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. It's from February of 2013.
Have you had this super douchebaggy thing where the manager or the publicist of the dude calls you?
Yes.
Fucking horrible.
Of course.
Guys are so, they're such scumbags.
Hey, he wants a picture, like, you guys get a picture taken together outside of Nobu or something, like.
Yeah, they call, they have their publicist or their manager. Call, like, guys are horrible, but this is how guys. Okay, let me explain something. Gay guys fuck on the first date. Why? It's two dudes. Mm. They're in charge. How long shall we wait before we got our cock in each other's ass? Just the time that took was wasted time. That could have been ass cock at time that we've squandered and we'll never get back. So, thus, the glory hole is invented. You know what I mean? Because why even leave the fucking bar and suck each other off in the bathroom? So that's when guys are in charge. So now, you have celebrity guys. Well, celebrity guys are guys, and they're not so much. I mean, they're guys too. They can't go find a dude to do with them. They're straight guys, but they sit around and like look at television. I'd love to find the. I would bet now. I'll give you a perfect example. I would bet you that chick from the Verizon commercial rides the motorcycle and
T-Mobile.
T-Mobile.
One, and two, Kalamazoo.
That, yeah, that hot brunette chick.
Do you love her more than the Oasis girl?
Oh, the Orbits girl?
Orbits girl, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
We better move on.
I do.
One's a brunette, one's blonde.
I bet she gets 15 calls a day from Hollywood douchebag agents and publicists saying, so-and-so would love to take you out to lunch. And if she says no, she says no. But they just have these people do
so they
their,
don't have to
their
put
bidding.
Themselves out there, yeah.
Yeah, and they just sit around, like I said, like it's what all guys would do if they could do it. Now, if you work at a corrugated sheet metal plant. You can't sit around and watch the TV and see some hot chick on a sitcom and go, hey, I'm going to get my publicist to call her publicist and see if we can go to Nobu. That doesn't happen. But if you're David Spade, and you're not blonde, so it wouldn't be David Spade. But
it's a laughter of recognition.
If you're David Spade, it's real easy to do. And that's all you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who did that to you?
I don't want to say.
You know what, though, Adam? I have a theory, and you tell me, without naming names, tell me if this is correct. I think the guys that have the publicist call up that just want the picture of them coming out with the girl, Nobu, it's got to be overwhelmingly a percentage of gay men. These are the gay men. Not the date, just want the picture.
Well, I think they just want publicity.
I know what you're saying about the picture and the Nobu, and yeah, that does. But this isn't – I think they can't say, look, my client needs his cock rubbed. So they say – he's a big fan of your commercial where you don't talk and ride that motorcycle. He's just a huge fan of non-talking
chicks. Feels like you guys would really have a connection.
On Kawasaki's, and he really felt something jump off the screen there, and he wants to go to Nobu. Yeah, yeah. Taking the picture could be the gay publicity thing. But
I've also had like people contact friends. I'm, you know, friends of friends, and a friend will text me, hey, so-and-so wants to work with you on a project. How should I get you in touch? I'm like, here's my manager's email.
Yeah, it's such a turnoff if you're a chick. If I would base it, I would do it case by case. You know, my point is it wouldn't be how I was contacted. It was who contacted me. And if it was someone I was really into and someone was really cute or something, I'd go, fuck it. I don't care. Chicks, you factor that stuff in.
That's true. Yeah, for sure.
The only time I ever had that was
We're like catfish in a way.
But I'm also like a guy in the sense that Just tell me. You don't need to say, hey, I want to work with you. Hey, I want to do this.
Yeah, you guys say that. You say that. Yeah. You know, that's right up there. Yeah, just be straightforward. Right. That doesn't work. That's
like, it can be cute.
No, but it's like when you're on your period and you get all bitchy and you do something nutty and you freak out. And then later on that night, you go, listen, my hormones are raging and I'm on my period. And next time I do this, just say, I know you're on your period and don't pay any attention. Yeah, see how good that goes over next month. That's what I'm saying. A lot of talk. Yeah. The only person I had that do that to me was Margaret Cho, sadly.
Do what to you?
I think she used to drink. And she may have been, I don't know what her addictions were, but it was definitely some booze or something in there. And she wrote a part in a movie where me and her got it on a bed covered with coats. And she said, I'm walking over to your house and we're going to go through this part. And I was like, you're walking? And she's like, yeah, I live close. And I said, yeah, all right. And she came over and I didn't know. I thought she wrote a movie and I had a part in it. But it was a part where all we did was fuck on a pile of coats. And then it was funny because I was talking to someone about it later on. I was like Laura Keitling or something. And she went, she did the same thing for me. And it's actually, it's not a bad.
How about leaving the jokes to Adam?
It's not a bad way to go.
Yeah.
I think she's sober now. She probably does a little less of it. But I say, you know, Sasha, I got a movie. I wrote a movie. I got a part. For you in this movie, and I live up the street, so I'll just come over and bring the script, and then we'll sit down, and it's smash cut to, then we get
red
naked,
wine.
And I take a belt, put it around your neck, and we're on this big pile of jackets on a bed. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, what happened with, did Margaret Cho come over, though?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
She put a belt around his neck.
I thought it was
Did she find where the coats are?
Yeah, I thought I was played like a boxer with a heart of gold or something. Like, I didn't know it was just about her and I fucking, you know? And so, like, and she's like, I want to go over this. You know, and I was like, all right. And we started, like, opening the thing, and I didn't read the script. I didn't know what it was until, you know, she went to the bedroom. He locked the door, took his pants off. She, like, grabbed his unit, threw him on the bed. It was, like, rough trade, you know? Uh-huh. It was a little weird, you know?
Long story short, you lost out to Norm MacDonald.
Long story short, Norm MacDonald. Yeah.
Wow.
And all I remember is she had a sweat going. I remember that. And I was like, I didn't know Asians sweat. I remember thinking, this is a real novelty. female Asian, nice sweat going. You know what I mean? Like a
well, no wonder
Ron
she
Jeremy
liked you.
Sweat or
I couldn't yeah, smell anything, but this was that sort of Black Baptist minister thing where they're dabbing at their forehead and yelling they've been to the mountain. You know, she'd walked up the mountain, got a little lather going, mm-hmm. and then you know the scene was pretty steamy. Thankfully, I had to be at Loveline that night, so I had the people didn't know I was lying because
you're the heart out.
Loveline started at 10, and I would leave for Loveline about 9:36 or so from my house. But people who didn't know me, I'd go, oh, it's 8 o'clock. Yeah, I got a 10 o'clock. You know, I got to get there. I got to do show prep.
It's the only time you had to do show prep.
I got to prep the show.
I got to do mic checks. I got to, you know, go over the material, Drew, screen the calls.
Yeah, here's where my show prep would be. Who's a guest? That's how it would
Adam, mics are hot.
Oh, who are you? Yeah, that would be the show prep.
I have a question for Sasha. Speaking of casting and all that, and the girlfriend experience, what was it like working with Steven Soderbergh?
It was amazing.
Because he likes to cast sort of non-traditional, you know, the Haywire and all that. He cast non-traditional leads on.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he is so methodical in the way he works on set. In the first few days, I thought I was doing something wrong because the set was so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, oh my God, what am I doing wrong? And I just kept asking as many questions as I could. And by like the third day, I realized, no, this is just how he runs his set. And I've never been on a set like that since. He's super easy to talk to. And
did he write Social Network? Am I mixing up?
Sorkin
and Soderbergh are the two guys. I just
Soderbergh directed Ocean's 11 and Sex Lies and Videotape. And
He's married to somebody. Somebody that we know.
Jules Asner.
That's her.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. She was pissed because I was making fun of Ocean's 12 or 13 or something. Yeah. Anyway, should we do a little news? You want to hang in, Sasha, and Crackwise? Let's do it.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison, Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cut. It's Allison, Allison.
All right, hold on real quick. What the hell are we talking about? State of the Union. Yeah, just give me the bottom one on there. This Obama did address kids and raising kids, and that's my never-ending refrain, but this is how he described it. Let's hear what it takes here.
And we'll work to strengthen families by removing the financial deterrence to marriage for low-income couples and do more to encourage fatherhood. Because what makes you a man isn't the ability to conceive a child. It's having the courage to raise one.
And we want to encourage that. The courage to raise? Hold on. The courage? It's not storming a castle. It's raising your fucking kids. The courage. We've raised the bar so fucking high. We require so little from dads now. The courage to raise a kid. First off, it's not courage. It's a fucking obligation. It's like the courage to raise your dog. It's your fucking dog. You raise it. It's not. Could you imagine that going over 50 years ago? You know what? Not only having the kid, but here's a novelty. Is everyone sitting down? It's going to be controversial. The courage to hang out and buy the kid a meal. Whoa.
Cook dinner.
How fucking low have we set the bar for dads? It's not courage. It's an obligation.
Sadly, that's the spoonful of sugar now it takes for the medicine to go down. The medicine is raise your kids, but you can't spoon feed that to anybody anymore. Now it's to be courageous.
Listen, if we are turning raising your child as a father or mother, but raising a child, if we are turning that into a bridge too far, it's time to fucking pack it up and just go ahead and light off whatever nukes we have.
Yeah, let
let the winter kick in for a few thousand years and start fresh. That's it.
Yep.
The only one who'll survive is Ron Jeremy. The only,
and Keith Richards.
Only man and Keith Richards. We're the only two left alive.
He's like an insect in that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
If we have turned raising your fucking kids, which is an obligation. Well, first off.
This is a requirement if you're going to have them.
I would argue.
You have to have a license to have children.
It'd be one of those But it's also something one should look forward to. It doesn't take courage. It's not an obligation. You know, we're doing this. Can you please raise your kids? You should look forward to raising your kids. It's a very part – it's an important part of life, and it's part of raising you.
It's just a waste of my time.
Well, shits. Money drains. The point is the courage – courage is not the right word to put in front of raising your fucking kids, Obama. You should be yelling at people. You raise your kids. It's your job to raise your kids. And here's the message. If you don't raise your kids, the government is going to raise your kids. And guess what? The government fucks up. Most stuff it touches. So if you don't think your kid's going to get fucked up when the government raises your kid, it will. And we don't want to. So – it takes no courage to raise a fucking kid. Let's stop lowering the fucking bar, you assholes. Sorry, go ahead.
You know what's weird to think about in regards to raising kids? With people having kids later and later, grandparents are going to be a thing of the past.
That's right. That's right.
Do we care?
No, we never need them. They smell like Ron Jeremy. They eat ribbon candy.
They do. Why? You know what?
Grandparents are in a lot of the raising now, though.
Yeah.
Whatever candy we eat, if we ever have grandkids, that'll be grandma candy to them.
I know. I'm already planning. Nerds. I'm already planning my weird candy to get into.
What's it going to be?
I'm caught between those Zots. They're called Zots.
Zots.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of eating the ones
that is
just
weird candy.
Come on the ammunition belt. You know, the little different color ones that come on the paper belt.
Oh yeah, but. Button candy.
And just having a roll that I keep on my belt. Mm-hmm. And I just pull out.
Change dispenser.
That's
pretty
cool.
Just pull out like, you know, 12, 13 inches, rip it off. I'd also use it for tipping. Like, hi, Grandpa, have you lost weight? Man, you just get 4 inches of edible paper there, son. There you go. There, break off a little piece. Give it to your sister. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, it'll be embarrassing when it gets caught in the car door, and I make it all the way into the Costco, and it's still attached.
Yeah. You know, oh, I mean? Grandpa.
Yeah, that's funny.
You've done
funny.
It again.
There's also schools have Grandparents Day, which since I had no living or nearby grandparents, mm-hmm. I always found to be a waste of a day for me.
I need a picture of a Zot now because I cannot. that just came out of my mouth, but I don't know what a Zot is.
Yeah, and I made a reference to Razzles. I think mm-hmm. they're called recently. I think mm-hmm. they're some weird kind of Zot-related candy.
Mm. Yeah.
Everyone gave me a look like, what are you just like that?
Yeah, Razzles. They're like
they
good
like
and plenty.
I don't know. I don't know what they are.
There's a Zot. I don't know what it is, but that's going to be my confection of choice. It
looks different than I expected. Yeah, and see, Razzles are, so I think they come in like a roll.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
Razzles come in a box, I think.
I thought they were like dots, but just all raspberries.
All right.
Or maybe it's just...
Could be
I'm getting hungry
really.
And horny. Let's
all right.
keep rolling.
All right. Well, in more serious news, it appears that ex-cop Dorner, the rogue cop, may have been caught. All sorts mm-hmm. of Dorner-related activity has happened today. Mm-hmm. He held 4 people hostage, possibly for days, in the Big Bear area before fleeing the residence that he was at on Tuesday
mm-hmm.
in a stolen maroon Nissan Rogue. It seems that one of the hostages broke free and called 911.
And that was Adam talking about how it takes courage to raise your kids. Stick around. I mean, Adam still complains about that speech to this day, so that was the origin of that particular complaint. And thanks to Bones32 on Twitter for requesting that. If anybody else wants to request a clip, it's very easy. You can email us, classics@adamcarolla.com, or you can tweet us, just like Bones did, @GiovanniGiorgio, @ChrisLoxamana. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, wherever. Let us know what you want to hear on the show. We love getting the requests and finding them for you guys, sharing them with the world. Because if they have the effect on you, hopefully it'll have an effect on others as well. We have another clip request in just a moment. But first, gotta remind everybody once again about Geico, that we're apart these days. We're sharing more. And Geico would just like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing all the dance moves, all your haircut fails.
We were on this last week, Chris, please.
I know. You're sharing the TikToks, the online videos, the live streams, everything. But now it's Geico's turn to share, too, with the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. So because Geico's committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term, Just go to geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility.
And after you do that, make fun of Chris's hair.
That's right. Gio, what's this next clip? Who requested it?
This is from Mayaku, M-A-Y-A-K-U on Twitter. Hey, Gio, can you play a live show with Fitzdog? I think it was in 2012, where Greg talks about a certain proclivity with a writing instrument. We can indeed. It's Adam Carolla Show 1261, Greg Fitzsimmons, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. It's actually from 2014, unless there's a 2012 version where this also comes up, and if so, we will play it. Check it out.
All right, we have another question out there.
Sure. This one's from Mike Ditola of Newport. Where is Mike here?
Yeah. Oh, there he is. Yeah.
Well, Adam, give him the mic because he has to... Perfect. Because he has a question that I'm not 100% sure about.
You're not 100% sure about it?
I don't know if this happened. You claim it happened. I don't know if it
happened. Oh, yeah. Greg Fitzsimmons famously has a story about sticking a pencil up his ass. I just want to know if you had a story like that, Adam.
It's getting more famous.
It wasn't.
He told that story on my podcast, or have you told everyone that story?
No, you heard it on her podcast. No, well, I've never told that story.
To be fair to Greg, somebody needed a number two pencil really badly, and all we had was ones and threes. And right. Greg said, "Don't worry, I can make it into a two.
I can take care of this."
Yeah.
I'm an alchemist. It was the anal SATs.
The guy didn't have time for him to just eat them.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Greg. What's the story about putting a pencil in your ass?
Oh, no, I think he was just saying as an example for you to tell a totally different story than the one about the pencil up my ass.
I'm pretty sure he wanted to hear the pencil story.
Which begs
a lot. Was it a regular pencil or mechanical pencil? And then what would be cool with the mechanical pencils, you start twisting your ear and the lead starts coming out, you know? That'd be a cool move.
You could do that without a pencil, though.
Yeah.
If you were talented.
So what was the occasion when you did this?
It was Tuesday.
It's not a story. It's a thing.
A fable?
It's a thing. It's a thing I did. There's no beginning, middle, and end. I used to, I used to put a pencil in my ass when I masturbated when I was like 13.
Oh, wow. So
that's
this
no
was
story. I don't know how you call
a real
it a
more
story.
Than once occurrence.
Later on, you'd see his dad like doing the taxes and biting on the end of it. Like, how many dependents should we claim? What the? Anyway, where was I? How many dependents? What the? Shit, I'm sorry. What? Did the dog shit in the dog shit in the house? Anyway, how many dependents should we claim?
Honey, what are you cooking in there?
Yeah. Wow. And as far as the pencil goes,
right.
Business end, eraser end, what are we talking about here?
I mean, you're making a joke out of something that was, it was meaningful to me.
Right.
I mean, that pencil was, I remember it was a Ticonderoga.
Mm-hmm.
Back then they made them. I mean, none of these... swizzle stick fucking pencils.
Yeah.
Those were Lincoln Log pencils.
Right, yeah. Now, they had some heft. They had some weight to them. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they had vibrators in them. They had batteries.
Really? Wow.
They were vibrating pencils.
Wasn't beating off enough when you were 13? Did you feel you needed up the ante at that tender age? Like, to me... the bloom was not off the rose for several decades. The bloom was not off the brown rose for several decades. I was enamored with masturbation from the beginning. I didn't feel like, oh, boy, I really got to up the ante here. Is this all there is?
I don't remember why I used to put the pencil up my ass, and I don't know why this guy brought it up. But it's Valentine's Day, and we could probably move on to some other stories.
Now, do you think your forefathers would have put, like, quills up their ass? Or do you think this is a generational thing? I'm asking in all seriousness. I'm not being pejorative here. I want to know. Is this a... And, like, let me ask you this. When you're not feeling quite up to it, do you go with, like, a golf pencil? Like, when it's, like, you're running short on time?
So this is your whole monologue about pencils up the ass. You're just going to...
I'm wondering if your ancestors put quills up their ass if they ever fell in love with people with parchment up their ass.
Ah, that would be a roller skate and a key kind of situation. Yeah,
right, right.
It's like Annie in the locket.
So, no, it, and ever, did you write anything down? Literally, like,
yeah, no, it was funny because my mother said, why are you writing hieroglyphs on the sheets? And I didn't know how to tell her that's called an orgasm, Mom. It's the way I move.
And you started this at 13?
Probably about 13.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you got to push yourself. I think at a at a young age, you could be satisfied with a simple one-handed jerk-off. Or you can, say... you know, I deserve more.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, I don't feel like today's generation has the fire in their belly and the number two up their ass. You know what I mean? If they...
Years later, Greg would go breakdancing and autograph the cardboard.
That's right. All right. Let's see. Oh, so should we talk about this for another 20 minutes, or are you good?
Thanks again, sir.
I mean, I just want to know, was there trial and error before you realized a pencil was what you liked?
Well, why do you think I had an eraser up my ass? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was an error.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. This is going to sound weird, but it's going to take 3 seconds. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more ass pencil talk after this.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I'm going to tell you who's on the mountain. It might be Tom Mix, but there's something very meaningful you want to hear, and it is not about who's skiing down a mountain. Listen for free through iTunes or visit LarryMillerPodcast.com. We'll see you here.
We're back. Thank you very much, Irvine. See, that was very painless. All right. We have some news. Because I feel like Greg is dying to get to a little news. And by the way, Fitz Dog can be found at the Punchline in San Francisco March 13th through the 15th. That's starting to take the sting off the pencil story, right?
Yeah. Let's work our way out of it.
Hollywood Improv March 16th and March 20th through the 22nd. Comedy Works Sound in Colorado.
South. Comedy
Oh,
Works
South. It's a
Denver.
Sound here. That right. Seems weird. Yeah, Comedy Works, that's the place that puts you up in the condo where Mike August stole all the toilet paper?
That's what I heard. Yes. So I don't
Comedy
know.
Works is not the underground place.
There's the downtown, which is underground, and right. Then the south one, I believe, they have like a fancy condo you stay in instead of a hotel.
Right. You right. Can steal toilet paper if you like. And one more time to Mike August. If you do... At age 46 and a half, decide it'd be a great idea to steal a bunch of toilet paper from somebody's condominium that the comedy club has put you up in. Do not brag about it to other 40-something-year-olds as we head through LAX. Yes?
Yeah, smart.
Okay.
I feel like perhaps this crowd needs to hear the Mike August shoes story. It's one of my favorites.
I said to Mike August once, I said, like, whose shoes are those? I don't know. I notice shoes, and I have questions about them. But I realize that people tell me all the time, like, you know, when you talk, you don't look at me, you look down, which is not great when we're trying to communicate or connect, but it's good when there's a problem with either your tires or your shoes. Because I come in and I go, you got a problem with your car tires. I stare at everyone's car tires. I stare at everyone's shoes. And Mike August one day showed up in some shoes, and I said, whose shoes are those? And he said, they're my brother-in-law's shoes. And I said, why are you wearing them? Like, I was expecting to hear a story that involved, you know, I was driving a car, and it went off the road, and I ended up in a mire, and my shoes were ruined, and I had no place. I was house-sitting, and so this guy, all my other stuff was at the house that was on the other side of the bridge that was taken out by the storm. And he said, why am I wearing his shoes? He's out of town. And I said, well, why would you wear his shoes? He's like, why should I put the mileage on my shoes?
His tone was incredulous. Like, yeah. Why?
He made the mistake of going to Vail snowboarding for 3 days. Why shouldn't we put some mileage on his shoes? Like, the wear and tear on the 7 blocks I would walk in my Nikes while he's in Vail. I mean, that could be 13 cents. I mean, that really starts to add up. He literally wanted to put miles on someone else's shoes. Mike's one of these guys where if you say to him, listen, until you've walked a mile and someone else, oh, no, I have. I wear everyone else's shoes. And I was like, don't you think, do you think he would appreciate you knowing that you're supposed to feed the fucking cat, not wear his shoes? And it's so absurd, it's not even the kind of thing you would put on your list. You know what I mean? Like, the list of things might be, you know, don't overfeed the goldfish, and remember the front door's a little tricky, make sure the deadbolt's locked. But you would never say to someone who was house-sitting, dude, don't wear my shoes. And it wasn't like one of these things where, oh, well, there was a theme party, and the theme was the Roaring Twenties, and he had these wingtips, and all I had was loafers. Like, no, just wearing his shoes so as not to put mileage on his shoes. Fucking insane,
yeah,
right?
He's house-sitting. You shouldn't have to worry about your shoes.
No.
Although, if I house-sit, throw the fucking pencils out as soon as you get home. Right in the trash basket.
Absolutely. Understood. All right. Now, from shoes to the news, baby girl.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
With Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison.
Murphy.
Allison.
Murphy.
And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison.
Murphy.
Allison.
Murphy.
All right, so in honor of Valentine's Day, there's a study questioning whether an emotional affair is worse than a sexual one for men and women. Mm-hmm. And 72% of men said sexual affairs were worse than emotional affairs.
Right.
69% of women said emotional affairs were worse than sexual affairs.
69, dude.
Yeah, they did.
69.
Great.
You know, I just had a thought. I don't know if you have this thought. Greg, we're about the same age, getting a little bit older now.
Yeah.
I have these thoughts, a lot of stuff I used to like to do, but, you know, I sort of go like, well, I don't know that I will ever play a super competitive pickup basketball game ever again in my life. Like, I'll go out to the back with my son, and I'll shoot around, and I'll have some fun. But the meet strange dudes in the park and start elbowing guys and really get into a hoop game like back in the day, shirts and skins. Like, I don't think I'll ever do that again. And I have little flashes that where I'll go like, I don't think I'll ever go water skiing ever again in my life. Like, I just won't. Because it's not like, well, I'm going to put it away. But when I'm 75, I'll go water skiing. Like,
you have a reverse bucket list?
Yeah, I got a reverse bucket list. It really is. It's the outside of the bucket. Right.
Never taking things out of the bucket.
Throwing shit out of the bucket. Like, I literally walk around going, I don't think I'll ever do that again. I may have 69 for my last time.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I mean, the night is young. Our sign language, ladies, attractive. But I would never... Obviously, that's a choice she would have to make. I would not impose that on anybody. You want participant in that activity. You don't want someone who's angry.
But if she wants the job again.
That's right. Yeah, certain.
Would you just make her say something over and over and over and over?
That feels good, yeah. The point is, I don't know if I'm ever going to 69 again in my life.
Not sure why I did it in the first place.
Yeah.
It's never a good fit.
Plus, young gal, you tore a retina with the pencil.
Oh.
Right. Right.
That had to be very, very dangerous. Very. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want
a 69. A lot of times women come out of my bedroom with goggles on. People say, what's going on in there?
Yeah. How'd you get the 8 stitches in the forehead? 69ing with Fitz Dog.
I think
lead poisoning. and lead poisoning. Sorry.
I'd say, do you want to go out again? And she'd say, yeah, I'll pencil it in.
Sorry, where were we? 69, what?
Well, it's challenging from a lumbar perspective.
As far as this test goes, I think I'm surprised that there's only 3 or 4 percentage points separating men and women in this department. For a guy, we're much more bottom line. If you did not have sex with that person, we're in a much better mood about it. And I wonder if this is the X, meaning men are becoming women and women are becoming men, and we're just sort of meeting in the middle, and we started off as just an X at the bottom, like somewhere in the 30s, and now we're coming to the middle where we're crossing.
Well, no,
I may have misunderstood this. The guys
same. It's almost the same percentage of men and women are opposite.
Feel opposite.
Like 72% of men
think the physical.
Think it's, all right, hold on. Let me use my thing. Watch this. Yeah, but still. Yeah. So
exactly.
73% of men think it's bad.
Think sex is worse than the emotional affair.
And 69% of women
think the emotional affair is worse than the
all
sexual
right, good.
Affair.
All is right with the fucking universe. Again.
Now, 76% of women would forgive their partner for a strictly sexual affair. Mm-hmm. Only 35% of men would forgive their partner for a strictly sexual affair.
This is great news for dudes. Because when you're...
Yeah, this is news you can use.
News you can use, because when you're fucking the 22-year-old junior college flunky hostess at Chili's, you can go... I would love to compliment you and send you a lot of super sexy text messages and things like that, but I'll never be forgiven for that. No, don't stop sucking. You're missing my point. You're missing my point. We can't do any of the penny for your thoughts or any of that. It's just strictly physical.
No intimacy.
Understand, I have a family. Okay? My children, they're my life. All right? Don't stop sucking, sweetie. You're not... You can listen and suck. You can listen and suck. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that if my wife was going to have sex with another man, I don't think I care.
You don't?
I don't. I mean, I'm on the road all the time. I would be happy for her. She deserves it.
Really?
I don't. I'm being totally honest. But if I knew she cared about somebody, that would really fucking bother me.
So she could have intercourse with the guy, and that'd be okay.
Not okay, but it wouldn't bother me.
I thought you'd be happy for her.
I'd be happy for her, but I...
In like a bittersweet way?
I guess I'd be happy, but I'd be sad, but I would accept it, and I would say, I'm shit, I'm nothing, you're good. You deserve good cock.
Right. Good cock, bad cock. I know that story.
You try to play that.
Good cock. Right. Offers them some cigarettes, yeah. You know. Bad cock comes in and busts a chair
it
up
here, yeah.
And backhands him, so all pissed right. off.
You better talk to me now. This guy's coming in. He's got warts.
Yeah. So you're saying you're on the road a lot.
I'm on the road. She's alone. She's attractive. And
she
I think that if
better.
A man were to make love to her and he was respectful, then... and again, this is on the airwaves, so if this is not an invitation to the gentlemen of America...
Uh-huh.
But there's two guys in particular that I think might.
And you would say the younger of your children should not be in the room. Is that part of... I'm trying to lay down the parameters.
No kids in the room. No, hotel.
Oh, no kids.
Do it in a fucking hotel. Like a gentleman.
That's the whole thing. What if they did it? What if they did it in your bed?
Now, that's a problem.
Okay.
Right. But, again, it can be overlooked.
Uh-huh.
As long as there was no emotional connection.
Greg,
there.
You say that now, but... Fast forward to the day when your wife confesses her affair to you and you're crying. Did he have a Sharpie in his ass?
That's right.
It was not a fucking Sharpie, Brian.
Once you go black, you never go back. That's what they say.
If it wasn't a black Sharpie, it's okay. If it wasn't a black Sharpie, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy had a highlighter between his cheeks, man. He was packing.
How can you compete with that?
You can't. You can't.
Would it bother you, Adam, if you found out that Lynette... See, I guess what I'm wondering is, For a guy, how would he even discover that his wife is having a quote-unquote emotional affair? For women, it's easy. Like, if you sense that your significant other is becoming really close with someone of the opposite sex at mm-hmm. work, like, that's a very uncomfortable feeling.
Well, listen.
My fiancé, Daniel.
Best. I would like her to have an emotional affair, and then I just come home and fuck her. You know what I mean? Like, you get all your thoughts. You talk about all the people, all the girls you hate at work, and all this, what's going on with the kids at school, and Sonny's falling behind in math, and all the shit I don't give a fuck about.
Isn't that what she has with Dr. Bruce?
Yeah, I think she has it with Dr. Bruce and Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. So, the emotional affair where there's no sex going on, that's awesome.
Buddy, save it for the Valentine's Day card.
Right. No, I honestly, I think when a bit we've never shown or even discussed, but I think when we did the man show, we did Rent-A-Gay or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But it was basically, you know, the guy's watching the game. The wife wanted her, you know, wanted him to go to the mall with her and go shopping, whatever. And it was like you would rent a gay guy to keep your wife busy. That's essentially what this is. I think we'd be all right with this.
But Greg, you don't want your wife to experience emotional closeness?
I don't think that she has any room left. She says I fill her up emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no space. I mean, I love hard.
Does that mean you never stop talking, or does that mean there's...
I'm a little needy.
Okay. All right. All right.
She's complete.
She's complete. Okay.
She's set at saturation.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you've heard about this. Facebook is now adding a customizable option with about 50 different terms people can use to identify their gender. So it used to be that you could either say you're male, female, or you don't have to indicate what you are.
Right.
But now there's 50 different terms, as well as three preferred pronoun choices, him, her, or them. The changes are aimed at giving people more choices in how they describe themselves, such as androgynous, bigender, intersex, gender fluid. I like that.
Gender fluid.
It's like something you're low on.
Yeah.
Or transsexual, for example.
Yeah. It'll give you pink eye, and it's on the comforter for, I think, every hotel I've ever checked into.
That's what happened to Bob Costas.
Gender fluid, yeah. Should have kept those fucking glasses on when he was 69 and got the gender fluid in the right eye. By the way, the part where you identify as, I love this new society we've crafted for ourselves where you go like, well, I'm male, but I identify as Wilt Chamberlain's cock. You know, so that's that's how I would like to be addressed. Like, that's how I identify. Like, all right.
I was a black cock born in a man's body.
That's right. I'm a small white cock trapped inside a huge black man's cock. Oh, no. I'm a huge
around.
Black cock trapped inside a medium to small-sized man's body. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I identify as Neville Chamberlain. That's who I do. Okay, awesome.
How do we identify Bruce Jenner these days? He's apparently rumored to be pre-op.
I like the idea that he's literally turning into Rhoda in front of us. He's gonna wear a fucking scarf around. It's like he's turning into fucking Rhoda.
All right.
Like you just, his whole thing is, oh no. I'm just having my Adam's apple shaved like every 59-year-old. Your dad,
he's like
my
75.
Dad, your dad before, well, 60, whatever he is. Yeah. We've all had our Adam's apple shaved. We all, you know, you remember when your dad went in for highlights in a bob,
right?
Right. On his 65th birthday, right?
Yeah.
Right? And there's a certain point in a man, usually 51 years after puberty where your nipples start to puff up a little bit and the areolas get enlarged and engorged. Yeah, and you start wearing
a plastic
cup.
You might need to wear a supportive device.
Yeah.
Right.
I've seen pictures of him. It is insane, but... The thing that's insane is he was the world's greatest athlete. Like, I mean, this is one of these stories that...
Wheaties box cover, like the picture of masculinity. Like
literally the American flag. He's wearing the dolphin shorts. He's doing the split nut where he's got one hanging on the right and the left.
Right.
Not many guys can pull that off.
I know that's a gold medal winner.
I know we consider
normally
that
normally it's a commitment, right or left. How do you dress? His nuts
straddles.
Split. That's right. It went with the Y.
I know we did consider that masculine, very masculine back then. But when you think about it, those shorts and that split nut action.
I know.
It's not very masculine.
Right. And the half shirt and can't stop the music. Maybe
the feathered hair.
We should have seen the signs.
These are signs we all should have seen coming. But he is literally getting his tips frosted, and he's wearing glasses like one of my mom's friends. And he looks like fucking Rhoda. I mean, he just absolutely does. It's crazy. And so the weird thing is wait, couple of things. I don't feel like at age 61 I'm going to go, you know what? You know what's missing? A vagina. I'm tired of dragging around this cock. Right. Small as it may be, I'm tired of dragging around this cock and balls, so I'm not going to go the next 17 years with this stuff attached to my groin. What the hell are we doing here, people? Like, I don't feel like there's anything that's going to change on my 61st birthday. Like, this is a weird thing. Maybe it's always been in him, but this is a weird thing to start having. You know, I understand the, you know, 19-year-old who's struggling with some sexual issues, who makes a declaration and whatever.
Right,
but
like, what changed in Bruce Jenner's life to allow this to come out now?
Yeah, and...
At that age, your genitals are the least important thing to you.
Your bowels are the most, usually.
Your genitals are just... First off, they age like Benjamin Button. Your sack is like 22 years ahead of you. So I have the sack of an 89-year-old right now. And it's all you can do is sit on it. It's vulnerable in street fights. It's just more of a liability than it is an asset at this point.
Right. The pencil gets stuck in it.
That's right. That's right. It gets burnt when you do that move with the flashlight. You know, when you're camping. Obviously, everyone's bored. We've all done it. The point is this. It's a weird thing for Bruce to be visiting at this stage in
his
life.
It's also hard to imagine there's anything to cut off at this point, having lived with the Kardashians for 20 or 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like when he undergoes sexual reassignment surgery, he's going to have to go find Chloe. What the fuck's his wife's name? Kim?
Chris.
Yeah, sorry, with a K, right.
Well, look who keeps up with the Kardashians.
He's going to have to be like, hey, listen, Chris, I know we've been divorced for a few years now, but I'm undergoing sexual reassignment surgery. I need to know where you buried my balls. Are they in the doctor? It's not for me. Obviously, we can't reassign something that's not there. So are they in a mason jar in the backyard? Or are they up in the attic? Like, where? What'd you do with my balls?
Right.
You cut them off in, what was it, 91?
Yeah,
I need them back.
I just need to return them. It's like that library book you don't want to read anymore, right. But you got to return it.
Medical waste, they'll be incinerated, but we just need them now. Can we go ahead and find those? And then she's going to do that move like when you're looking for your keys. Like, where did I put your balls?
Checking in her gigantic bag.
She's been such a long time now. Yeah, they may be up in the attic. I'll go check.
You check the drawer with the Post-its?
With the Post-its drawer.
There's a whole episode of the show that just follows that.
Yeah, they may be in that drawer with the batteries and the pliers and the Post-its. It's in the kitchen, and I think there's a chapstick in there next to your balls. For scale.
I think it's in the drawer with that collar of that dog I used to walk around that weighed 3 pounds and had a permanent.
Yeah.
That's where my balls might be.
Yeah.
Let's beat this premise into the ground a little bit
longer. Yeah, I think we've done it.
And that was Fitz Dog live sharing what truly became a classic moment from the Adam
Cole running show. Joke all throughout Twitter, and then every time Greg appears, including an episode with Sonny, where Brian says, hey, if you get a pencil from Greg's house, don't chew on it, Sonny.
Yeah. What story do you like better, the pencil story or the school bus story?
The school bus story is The school bus story is more impressive, and it's very similar to other stories like Brian's story or Gary's story, so it's more fitting for the Carolla Show.
Yeah.
And the pencil story was from another podcast that was requested to be told on the Carolla Show, so it's a little less natural than the other stories.
All right. I think I like the school bus story, too, but both just legendary.
There's another fan request for a moment where Greg admits to a hobby that we've Adam's accused Dr. Drew of having after Gina uses a public restroom. And that's a clip I'm actually still searching for. I was going to try to play it this weekend. I haven't found it. I'm going to play a clip from a Greg live show on tomorrow's Carolla Classics, available exclusively in the Carolla Classics feed, so subscribe if you haven't. But soon we will have another pervy Greg clip. Not this one, though.
What a tease. Before we get going to the next clip, got to remind everybody about Tommy John. That's right, working from home. It really is just the dream, right, Gio?
Everything you hate about going to an office, commuting, all that stuff goes away. But with that, you have to decide what you're going to wear all day. And changing up your underwear to Tommy John, working from home, it's the best move you can make.
I agree. So treat yourself and upgrade to a few pairs of Tommy John underwear in the softest, most breathable fabrics you've ever worn. And guess what? Right now, Tommy John's offering customers 25% off site-wide. 25% off. And wow. Now's a great time to start ordering for Father's Day.
It's not weird.
Yeah, not weird. And what an excellent gift. So hurry to TommyJohn.com/classics for 25% off your order. That's TommyJohn.com/classics for 25% off orders. See site for details. All right, let's get going with another clip. I remember football Sundays, Gio.
I do. I remember everybody else enjoyed them while I worked, but I was happy they were having a good time.
That's right. And while we were enjoying football Sundays, we always thought Gio was working.
Poor Gio. Yeah, just like the footsteps. While you guys were enjoying football Sundays, those were my footsteps carrying your stadium.
Well, back in 2011, on football Sundays, we would record the podcast from Happy Endings, which was it is a bar in Hollywood. And we would
should be reopening soon, and they have great apps.
Great apps, and we always had just anybody who was there just coming on. I mean, like any of Adam's friends. We've had Bill Simmons on famously, Christy Canyon, Will Sasso's been to Football Sundays, Cousin Sal.
Can't get Cousin Sal to leave.
That's right. And in this case, Dax Shepard.
Yep, Dax Shepard stopped by promoting an independent film he was doing at the time that Adam actually watched, much to Dax's surprise. The Cousin Sal's there. No audio problems in this one like some of the early football shows had, just because there was a live remote setting. It was a new thing. The audio was a little faint, so I was actually able to go in post and compress and normalize it. So it actually sounds better than it's ever sounded before. You get a lot more richer sound from all three participants. And just some fun stories all around. Some accidental mistaken bigotry. The Lyman Dyke story comes up, which is a great telling of it. All-around hilarious clip. Armchair expert on the Adam Carolla Show.
Get it on mandate. Get it on. Back at Happy Endings with our sparse but proud crowd. That's you guys. And, of course, Cousin Sal sitting in with us.
Yeah.
Dax Shepard here. Oh, yeah, I should do that. I didn't do that right. Cousin Sal, buddy, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Woo! Dax Shepard.
Yes.
Dax, by the way, Parenthood, NBC, 10 o'clock Tuesdays, back when seeing the ads for that. Just got done watching a DVD, the Freebie, which is out on DVD, and you can do video on demand, which ironically is not free. But the movie, an interesting turn for Dax, or I don't know, turn, but a serious role.
I don't know if I should play along and act like you really watched it.
Or I know. I watched the entire thing. Yeah,
you owed me because I watched your independent movie.
Yeah, well, there is that whole thing where if you do an independent movie, if you took away the base of people that saw my movie because I watched their movie and vice versa, nobody would watch the movie.
It's our version of the shitty play at the local theater.
Right. I supported your shitty play at the local theater. No, but
my Sketchaholics comedy group.
Eventually, if we could build, I came out to Reseda to see the frayed knots at the Sheridan. Now you fucking owe me, Shepard.
Yeah, the Embassy Suites in Valencia.
Yeah, it was it reminded me of my movie, our movie, in the sense that it scale-wise, obviously, mm-hmm. seemed like I really enjoyed it, by the way, and I do recommend it. Nonstop action, wall to wall. Dax, was that really you hanging off the back of that U-Haul?
Yes, yes.
Wow,
yes. I fell twice.
You ducked that overpass.
Sequence. Yeah. Wow. And real ammo in those AK-47s. We're not using blanks.
Holy shit. Yeah. Yes, you guys would be laughing if you saw the movie, laughing at us and laughing if you saw the movie. We'll get back to that in a second. Sal, yeah. how'd the season, how's it going for you thus far? I mean, playoff games.
So far, okay. I paint myself into a corner. I have the Eagles to win, but I have the Packers on a teaser, so it's not going to happen for me today.
Do you do you use the word degenerate when you describe your gambling? Are you still healthy?
I try to. No, I'm way. I'm gone.
You're
yeah.
a degenerate.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like saying there's a healthy way to eat at a buffet every night,
right. like or social cocaine.
I do a little. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't want to
yeah.
offend the host of the party if he gives me a bump.
Right,
what's
right.
That's a slap in the face.
When offered a needle, I'm not going to be rude.
Right, right. I don't tie myself off. But
with that said,
that being said,
40% of my life isn't a blackout.
There is a way to sort of peck around the buffet a little bit and not just dive.
Reach for the chickpeas every few minutes.
Every once in a while, you toss a vegetable on there, even if you don't eat it. You ever do that that thing where, like, you'll load up your plate for Thanksgiving? And you'll get the stuffing, and you get the ham, and you get the gravy, and you get the mashed potatoes, you get the sweet potatoes, and all that. And then at some point, you make some room for some vegetable on the side.
Uh-huh.
And then you're talking and eating and eating and talking. And then you look down and you realize everything has vanished except for the vegetables.
Yeah.
All the other things have been hit almost equally. One thing of mashed potatoes, one thing of sweet potatoes, one thing of turkey. But somehow that vegetable.
For me, everything but the stuffing is for show.
Oh, really?
Just so
people
think I'm eating the whole meal, but I really only want the stuffing.
Now, Dax, you're a sober guy, right?
Well, I don't know. Am I? Currently, yes.
You're currently a sober guy.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're a bit of a fitness guy, but you're not. But you'll eat shit.
You know, I just left a place in L.A. called Sharky's, which makes very low-calorie Mexican food. And I'm currently on a very low-calorie diet. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about my routine, and really, I'm like a crocodile. Like, you know, they'll eat a whole wildebeest, and then they don't eat for a year.
Right.
And that's how I keep this physique. Is right. I sit and do nothing the whole holidays, overeat, and then I starve myself and work out
right.
way too much.
But saying we make low-calorie Mexican food is like saying we have a whole library just for dyslexic folks.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
Do you want
so
me
much.
To hit you with the numbers?
Yeah.
Okay. The naked chicken tostada, which I can't even finish, and I'm a big eater, comes in under 500 calories.
Wow.
Yeah. Really? But who wants to eat with their pants down, people? It's embarrassing. Wow. I know, but don't you feel like by the way, like, you know that thing where you want to be pissed at somebody, but you can't really be pissed at them, but you can't stop trying to be pissed at them, but you have no right to be pissed at them. It's that kind of thing where it's like if somebody borrowed your car and they said, you know what, I'm going to take it and get it detailed, and then while they're getting it detailed, somebody backed into them. Mm-hmm. And it's like you'd be pissed. You got to dent your car. You have to be pissed, but they didn't really do anything, and they were trying to get it detailed for lending it to them and stuff like that. Tell me what you guys. I'm pissed at Paquito Moss. By the way, speaking of non-locale.
Oh, me too.
I got one for you right in the chamber.
Wait, who
you
is
chamber
no, one, you who here isn't pissed at Paquito Moss?
I'm angry, I'm mucho angry at Paquito Moss.
It starts with the title and then just unravels.
They've been out here for about 25 years. It's pretty much just soft tacos. No one speaks English. All the horchata you can hold in your ski cap. You know, it's like, look, it's beans, it's rice, it's cheese, it's salsa, it's beef, it's tortillas. It's hard to fuck up, and they don't fuck it up. They make it fresh. It's $5-6. It's easy. I was sitting around in my kitchen last night about 6 in the evening. And I said, I just got a hankering for some of that Mexican food. Uh-huh. You know, when you start thinking about the cheese and the rice and the roasted salsa, the salsa with the roasted peppers. You know, I'm like, I want some of those chips. I want some Paquito Mas. And we're up on the hill, and we got the kids, and my wife's like, I'm not going down. I already started with the kids and blah, blah, blah. And my wife's friend Jody says, I got to go down to the drugstore anyway to buy toilet paper. I don't know why you have to announce toilet paper. Just you can say, pick up something. Yeah, yeah. I don't have to picture you wiping your ass now.
Toilet paper.
But she's like, I got to go down there and pick up a bunch of toilet paper anyway. And by the way, you know, the toilet paper Mexican food run feels like a real yin and a yang thing going on.
Soup to nuts.
So I said, full circle, yeah. So she said, I'm going down anyway, so I'll go buy Paquito Mas and pick you up something. And I was like, oh, really? Okay, good. This is awesome. And so I said, good. Okay, get me two beef soft tacos. And then I realized I've made this mistake a few times when I've told the person, get the two soft tacos. I meant rice and beans. I meant like the plate.
Sure.
But they came back a la carte. You know what I mean? So I said to her, the two beef tacos, soft tacos, steak tacos, but give me the plate. Give me the beef taco. Give me the soft taco plate. So I get the rice and the beans, and then do you want the black beans? Do you want the refried? I still don't know what bean. I can't figure out what bean I like better. They shouldn't even give me a choice, but I go, you know, give me the pinto beans and give me the plate. And she says, all right. I go upstairs. I skip my rope. I come back downstairs. 5 minutes later, she comes walking through the door. I'm excited. I'm hungry. I've been thinking about this for a while now. I pop it open. There's one steak soft taco in there. Now, the thing is when you order the plate, they give you one.
Back up.
They give you one.
The only thing that came back was one steak.
No, taco? I got the plate.
Oh, okay.
I had the beans and the rice. Sorry. I got the beans and the rice, but just the one soft taco.
Let me. She used the other one to wipe her ass. They were out of trouble.
They're out of trouble.
I know.
Out of trouble. You always go flour on the ass. I said, so I was like, I got the two soft tacos, and then she said, well, you said to order the plate, and this is what comes with the plate, which I got burned at when I was with Donnie a few months ago when we were there. They used to do two soft tacos with a plate. Right. Now they do one. I don't know. Have they taken a look around America? They should be doing four instead of one, but they do one. So it's not really her fault.
Right.
Because she said plate, and I said plate, and that's what comes in the plate. But I had to do that thing where I was like eating it, and I was like, she should have known better. Like I was saying to my wife, and it's like, what? You ordered the plate, and that's what she did.
And at that point, it's almost like eating one Vicodin. It's just going to agitate you.
It's
half of a meal. It's just going to make you want the second.
At least
more
the
than
one
you
Vicodin
wanted.
You could wash down with a Bud Tallboy and like sort
kick,
of supercharge
it.
I can't do anything with
Square
this
it.
One taco. All this has done is whet my appetite for soft tacos, but it's not quenched the appetite. And I did that thing where I went, yeah, I know. I told her get the plate, and she got the plate, and the plate comes with one taco. It's not really her fault. Mm. And then I paused, and I went, but still, you got to know. Like, I wanted to vent. This poor woman went down the hill and got me Mexican food, came back up the hill. Yeah. I can't say anything, but I'm pissed off, and I don't know what direction.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Next time someone runs to get you food, you, especially at a place like that, give them $25 and say, make this disappear.
Right.
Make it
go
away.
What if she wiped her ass with it?
There you go.
It would still exist.
Right.
You tell her to go in there and spend every last dollar. Just start picking shit. Because if she came up with like a shrimp po' boy sandwich, you'd be happy because it would be a surprise.
Yeah. Like if you have $1.28 in change on the way home, stop by one of those Mexicans with the propane tank on the shopping cart and get whatever
buy
you can
bacon
get.
Bacon wrapped hot dog.
Buy half a hot dog. I don't care if it looks like a crow got to it. Yeah.
The rodeo clown.
Mm. Huh?
The rodeo clown.
Donnie.
The rodeo clown.
Donnie wants me to do comedy. I'm not. I'm pissed off.
Nah.
No.
You don't want to forget.
No comedy.
Wait, you got a whole routine about a rodeo clown?
Well, I do.
I do.
See,
I was...
Donnie, it's just in the delivery. I said, so you got a routine about a rodeo clown, and now we're off and running.
Well, what I was...
You can't just shout, back. Rodeo clown! Yeah, fuck you too, asshole!
No, but this isn't it. This isn't that. This isn't... This is...
I got your fucking rodeo clown over here, you cocksucker!
The rodeo clown is this. It's not work for this application, but the rodeo clown, just because otherwise it'll be bad. Podsmanship is, Dax, you can identify with this. Sal, you too. Although I feel like you're more visceral and less emotional than someone like Dax, especially
I'm
just coming
very
up.
Emotional.
I just saw the freebie. It was insightful.
I showed you some new layers, didn't I?
Yeah, I realized. So there are things. I thought he was just like a vanilla wafer, but it turns out he's a croissant. He's layered.
He's a
flaky pastry crust.
Thank you.
It just seems to keep going.
I'm
going to
change my bio when I get home.
I say that we all walk around as sort of products of our past. And all those, you have all those memories. I don't have too many complimentary memories floating around my head. But we all remember, I think the Eagles scored. We all remember when our dad missed a football game or baseball game or where a coach. Like, I remember very clearly people telling me, you're not that good, or you can't. I don't want to date you, or sure. I have a date for the prom, or it looks
that
like you put on a few pounds, or you're not whatever material. Like, we all remember all the negative. And then we just sort of carry it around with us, like in a gunny sack over our shoulder. And whether you think about it consciously or not, it's up there. It's kind of weighing you down. And it shapes who you are. And God forbid you're with a woman whose dad didn't pay attention to her growing up, or sexual abuse or physical abuse. I mean, they could be 40. You're still dealing with it today, even if the incident happened when they were six.
Right.
So I said that I was envious of the bull and the bull riders competition, because the bull's just 2,000 pounds of muscle, and you got this guy on his back. You have Jewel's husband is sitting on the guy's on the bull's back, and the bull's like, all I want to do is get this 130-pound guy from Wyoming onto his back. And then once I get him on his back, I'm just going to take my horn. I'm going to put it through his sternum. And that's all the bull thinks about. That's bull's thinking about other things and that. And then they open the gate, and the bull goes berserk, and he bounces around.
Or the other times where the guy stayed on his back for 8 seconds. He's not thinking, God, I bet I'm not going to be able to get this guy off in eight seconds
either.
He's not bringing his failures into it.
There's something on my back,
right,
and I need it to be on the ground in front of me, and then I'm going to take 2,000 pounds of me and put it through his sternum. I don't wear this guy like a tampon. So the bull, the gate opens. Bull must be surprised when the gate opens. Like, what?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Really? All right. Okay. Just me and this dude. All right. I have 1,851 pounds on this guy, but all right. And I have horns. He don't have these. He's got lobes. I've got horns, but all right. And he bucks around for 6-7 seconds, and the guy lands on his back. And then the bull's like, all right, well, now I'm going to do what I've been thinking about for the last half hour.
Sure.
And he goes to rear end to, you know, put the horn through the guy's sternum. And at the last second, the guy with the Wrangler shants and the grease paint and the Robin Williams suspenders, he jumps out in front and he goes, hey, over here. And the bull goes, huh? Oh, what is this? And the bull walks over and he starts fucking with that guy.
Yeah.
And I just think, he's forgotten all about the guys on the ground.
Yeah.
It's not a memory for him anymore.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking... I was saying that for my kids, instead of the filtered water and the organic foods and all the hoity-toity preschools and all of my, get your kid a rodeo clown. And at some point, you know, when my son is being told that he's too fat to go to the prom by his date, and he doesn't want to be seen, the tears are starting to well up, that guy in the grease paint would just jump out. Hey, over here! And he'd go, huh? And he'd, like, walk over, and then later on that day, I'd say, like, what happened today? And he'd be like, I don't know. I think I was getting... Anyway, there's this clown.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked for molestation. It worked for everything. Like, I think this priest was going at me from... There's this clown. It was awesome.
The clown would probably continue with the molestation.
I was thinking that might be the only drawback.
Yeah. Yeah.
That might be a drawback. You definitely... There'd have to be some sort of clown clearing program where, you know, you had some sort of clown clearance, you know. But... Take all the money you were going to spend on the organic food and the special schooling and put it
just
into an emotional rodeo clown.
Payroll.
Yeah.
Wow, is he in the house at all times?
He's got to be.
Right? He's got to be close. You never know when tragedy will strike.
Then you'd come home and he's fucking your
wife. Do you
have
a bell in the house? Like... Just ring the bell?
He'd have to hang close. I mean, I don't think he wouldn't need to be around the kid if the kid was just watching TV.
Sure. Yeah.
But, I mean, like, first slumber party, he should go along,
first
you know?
Yeah.
Because if there was one of those moments where they were playing, you know, 7 minutes in heaven or whatever, and someone didn't want to go into heaven with your son or your daughter because they had a hair lip or something.
Send him in the closet with the clown.
Send the clown. No, the clown would jump in and distract him before the tears. Before the tears, with the clown would jump in, you know?
Yeah.
He's there to save the life of the bull rider.
Yeah.
Here he's trying to save the psyche of your kid from the years.
The
so he leaves when the kid turns 18, or does it continue? Like, it would have worked with when you got your Mexican food, and it would have distracted
sure.
you.
Sure.
Like, right, like, just, I'd be like, what part of two steak, huh? What, whoa!
Right.
But what's great is that the people in your life who knew they were about to disappoint you, they would just show up with the clown, and you would know it would tip you off that bad news was coming.
Yeah.
Like, your sister-in-law, when she saw that she brought the bag in, she'd probably have the clown with her.
Yeah, ooh. She might even be dressed as the clown.
So, like, yeah, so if there's someone's going to break up with you, they show up with the clown.
Right,
yeah,
or the clown comes in too early.
Yeah. Or once in a while you get that thing, that equivalent, like when the boss says, I need to talk to you. And you go, oh, okay. And they go, could you close the door?
Yeah.
Like, so if your girlfriend calls and goes, we need to talk, bring the clown.
Right,
bring the clown. It'd always be like, oh, shit.
Send in the clown.
Yeah, send in the clown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, bring the clown is equivalent to close the door.
Yeah.
The
we
boss.
Need to talk.
Yeah. You ever get a close the door conversation? You ever had that boss?
You know, the one time I was fired, it happened in the funniest way. I used to work at a race shop in Michigan, and the boss was this hillbilly from Georgia who had previously captured, the second time I'm going to say alligators today, but he was an alligator wrangler, then started a race shop. Mm-hmm. So anyways, over the break, my birthday is January 2nd, so you have your little New Year's Eve break. So he said to me on the Friday before the break, hey, listen, your birthday is the 2nd, right? And I said, yeah. He said, why don't you don't come in on your birthday. Take that off. Go ahead and have an 8-day break. And I go, okay, great. He goes, you know what? And then the next day, just give me a call, and we'll see if we need you to come in.
Oh, no.
And then as I was driving home on my moped, my Elite 80
but he'd had
Honda
a,
moped,
he'd had
a, I was like, I think I was just fired. Why would I call in to see where we're at the day after my birthday?
Anytime anyone gives you the casual, we'll see how it goes after this.
Sure. Like, yeah.
If it's a
it
date,
already went the
you know,
wrong way.
Whatever it is,
yeah.
It, when people like you, they start setting up the second date, and the date literally has a date, a calendar date attached to it.
It's hard to gain points in this guy's eyes on your off day, on your birthday.
Right. How am I going to win him back
on
my free day?
How old were you at the time?
I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And but typically I quit jobs. Like, I worked at California Pizza Kitchen while I was a struggling actor, and they gave you a review every 3 months, right? And I was a host. Mm-hmm. So I went in to have my review. And
now, host means you're seating
I'm
people.
I'm seating people.
Giving them the menus, that kind of stuff.
Trying to tell them about the appetizers, ask them if they're familiar
but not
with
a,
the menu.
Not a waiter.
Tell them things. No, I was aspiring to be a waiter.
Right.
You have to start as a host. And it was in Brentwood. So people went in there and acted as if they were at a $200 a meal restaurant and expected that service, and they just didn't get it. And they were mad at me. So at any rate, I go in for my 3-month review, and it's all out of 10, right? So we're going through the categories, this, that, your outfit, you know, your how you look. And then it got to punctuality. And he goes, now, your punctuality, I gave you an 8 out of 10. That's a great score. And I said, yeah, but I've never been late.
Right.
And he goes, yep. And I go, in fact, I've been 5 minutes early to every shift. And he goes, yep, yes, you have. And I said, then how is that an 8? And he said, well, we want to give you something to aspire to.
Right.
And I said, I can't be more on time than I am. He goes, well, look, we got to give you somewhere to aim for. And I go, so you're trying to trick me into working harder. And what? Then I said, but I don't think I want to work at a place where you're trying to trick me into
especially
working harder.
Especially about, well, but specifically
quit.
Just being.
And then he called me the next day because I was a good employee.
Oh, yeah.
And he called me the next day. He goes, listen, I've been thinking about this all night.
Take your birthday off.
I'm willing to give you a... Your birthday's around the corner. No, he said, listen, I've been thinking about this all night, and I'm willing to go do a 9 on the punctuality. Wow. Can you believe that? 5 minutes early. An 8.
What? I mean... You can't.
Why, what would you have to show up the day before to get a 10? Just never leave.
Well, also, he was just trying to get you to improve in that one spot because they go, they're incremental. I mean, they,
we only got to like the second category, to be honest.
Right. Yeah.
Also, there's this, you know, people love doing this. I've caught myself doing it. When someone really pisses you off, and the ultimate thing you can do is you say, what is your name? Mm-hmm. You ever do that?
Yeah.
Like the stewardess is being an asshole or the flight attendant or whatever, and you go, excuse me, what is your name? And then that's supposed to, like, you know, Donnie be DEFCON 5.
Did it at the airport.
But now, when you're on the other side of it, that wears out really quickly. So people would say to me quite often as a host, what is your name? And I got to the point where I go, it's Dax, D-A-X, Shepherd, S-H-E-P-A-R-D. I'll write it down for you. And then I go back to my host stand and write my name and then hand it to him as they like, you're not going to write the fucking letter when you get home. I don't buy it. I would call their bluff. And I never, they never wrote a letter about me.
I called United Airlines, who wouldn't let me and Donnie on a plane out of Vegas, famously, a couple of months ago. Actually, their employees were such douchebags. Where I was like, I said, "Well, what is your name?" Because I got to let your bosses know just how poor your attitude is. And they wouldn't give us their name. They held their ID lanyard up.
Wow.
And they just but
that's a nice fuck.
But
you.
They moved it back and forth the whole time. So I started to get dizzy, like
hypnotized.
How did they know you couldn't read?
They were total douchebags. I called their supervisor. By the way, about 3 days ago after...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's more effective, and maybe I'm just saying this because I'm that lazy. The incident happened 2.5 months ago, and I called their yes, I called their manager 2 days ago. Literally.
Right.
Literally.
You can expect to be fired in 4 to 7 months after what you just pulled.
Yeah. Yeah, well, then they're like, well... One of them quit, and the other one was claimed by cancer. But other than that, we would act on it immediately. One of them inherited a large sum of money and quit. The other died of consumption.
The worst thing that I did as a host at California Pizza.
Why would they ask?
Well, I'm
going
to tell you this is the worst thing that happened to me while I worked there. You know, I was always trying to be funny. It didn't start when I started acting.
Sure.
So, well, one of the things you had to say when you seat people is, are you familiar with our new menu? And if they say no, then you got to explain to them the new things, right? But I didn't like doing that. So I would say to everyone I sat, are you familiar with our new menu? No, I'm not. Okay, well, we've changed our menu. We only serve fried chicken and hot dogs.
Right.
And then they would laugh, and then I go, no, just kidding. We have a new whatever the hell we had. So I would say that probably 8 times a day. I sat a couple, or 4 people on a double date, all 4 black.
Mm-hmm.
I sat them down. Are you familiar with our menu?
No.
Oh, our new menu, chicken. No. We've changed it to fried chicken and hot dogs. And as I was saying it, I was like, I did not just fucking say that. It just came out. I was doing it all the time. And
what is your motherfucking name?
This dude looked at me. No, he was debating whether to beat my ass in the alley. It wasn't going to be like writing a letter. He goes, excuse me? I go, I'm sorry. He goes, what the fuck? You only serve fried chicken? What the fuck is that? I go, oh my God. I go, I promise I say that to everyone. He goes, oh really? Everyone that sits down here, you say we serve fried chicken only. I go, I know it sounds impossible, but I promise I do. And he just looked at me like I had ruined his belief in humanity. He's like, whatever, man. What the fuck ever. Just get our wages. And I slank back to my host stand, and I was like, A, I'm getting fired. B, I deserve to get fired. I can't believe that happened.
Did you pull him over to patrons you had already sat? Like, what did I? What was my?
Just a parade of people. Yeah. Oh, you got these motherfuckers in on it now? Oh, okay. Oh, really? What else you say?
Wow. And did he report you? Did he?
He was so disgusted, and I backtracked so much that I think, you know, like I said, he wasn't deciding whether or not to report me. He was going to punch me.
Right.
And I kind of got out of it.
Did you change it after that to like goulash or something new?
With black people.
It is sad that there's a. Well, I mean, you got fried chicken, you got watermelon, but that's it, right? Oh, there's not a. Well, I just mean,
that's all they
food
eat?
You got to steer. Oh.
But what if there was. What if, unbeknownst to me, there was an ethnicity that hated hot dogs or hated being accused of loving hot dogs?
Yeah.
Well, the and what Jews if, like, some Polish guy got up and punched me when I said we only have hot dogs and fried chicken?
I think, like, black lesbians would be the worst combination. Like, you had black lesbians and you went with the hot dog. Just with the penis symbol.
Oh, okay, right.
It's symbolic. Sure. And then you work the fried chicken into the mix too.
I hope to. I mean, the odds of that gentleman listening to your podcast are a billion to one. But I do hope in some way this gets to him. And
it'd be nice.
That I was sincerely told everyone.
Well, if they could figure out the computer, I feel like. No, they're not Mac guys, is what I'm saying. They're Big Mac
He's
guys.
Still writing his letter.
No, I know, because you hate. Well, it kind of reminds me of my Lyman Dyke story, which involves a black woman and a lesbian and a
Lyman Dyke.
Yeah, well,
that's a soda or something.
No, I've told the story a couple times. I'll be as fast as I can, but Lyman Dykes are just dykes, just diagonal. No, I mean they're diagonal cutters. They're wire cutters.
Okay, great.
That linemen use. I am a lineman for the county. Yeah, you see those guys walking around with those steel toe boots, and the guys who drive the bell trucks and climb the poles.
I thought you were saying like they're like fat, like resemble offensive linemen.
I was hearing Lyman.
Oh, yeah,
Lyman.
Well, that's the
like
problem.
Doug Lyman.
There's a problem there. There's a problem. This is where the problem kicks
okay,
in.
Okay, great. Your enunciation could be better.
Lyman. Well, so the problem with me is it's like vice grips or something. To me, it's something I'm well aware of that I think everyone knows. Everyone knows what vice grips are or needle nose pliers are. Sure. So if you said nettle nose pliers, people would still know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. I was doing the Tonight Show, and so was Queen Latifah. And Queen Latifah.
In what capacity? As guests?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We're just cleaning up.
Punching up some of Jay's monologues.
We get there early, we punch up, we stay late, we clean up.
Okay.
Punch up, then it's clean
up. It's a punch up, clean up twofer.
And, you know, Queen Latifah, rightfully so, was going on
the
first.
Lead guest.
She was the lead guest. I don't know if they do it by weight or by star power, but either way.
Probably star power.
She's doing it. I think they probably. Yeah. Probably so, yeah. Probably.
Because I've been followed by heavier.
Okay, all right.
Guys.
So then you know. So they brought on Queen Latifah first
to promote Taxi Circa. What year?
I could do an hour on that show.
Sure.
Taxi, the movie Taxi. But no, she's probably doing the People's Choice Awards or something like that, which she hosts quite often, and. Her whole thing, and Dax, you know this, and Cousin Sal, you know this too. When you go on a talk show, late night format, you try to pick a story. You know, they do the pre-interview. How was your Christmas vacation? What, anything funny? Any
summer?
Funny stories? Any vacation? Where'd you go? Did you want a vacation? Where'd you go?
Yeah.
So this is right around Christmas time, and she went to Jamaica.
Uh-huh.
For her Christmas break, and that was the whole thing. So she was explaining that in Jamaica there's something called Lyman, which means chilling. That everyone just should chill.
Lyman,
I'm Lyman. You Lyman, you Lyman. And it's like chilling. And that became the thrust of her entire segment.
Sure.
Her entire segment was just around, Jay, you got to be Lyman, man. You got to be Lyman. I'm Lyman. Everyone over there's Lyman. Yeah. And it was one of these things where I think she thought it was going to be funnier or sustain a little more than it actually did. About the 183rd time the audience heard Lyman, they weren't grinning as hard. But either way... She wrote it for two segments.
God
two
bless her.
Long segments to lime, and you got to lime, yeah, you know? And then I came in.
Okay.
And she
and
got.
The audience was dead, many she, of them dead.
She got up, moved over the seat.
Oh, great. She stayed out.
She stayed out.
Oh, good.
She stayed out.
That's what you're hoping for.
Yeah. Yeah. And I sat down, and Jay did the same, you know, how was your Christmas, whatever. And my angle was I started going down the, I got twins, we had to buy all the gifts for the twins, we didn't go to Jamaica, we stayed back in L.A., and oh, geez, these things now, the packaging that these toys come in these days, it's shrink wrapped, it's in, you know, five layers of cardboard, then it's all tied down with baling wire and yeah, stuff. And I said, you need a blowtorch and a Lyman Dykes to get into this thing.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And I realized I was sort of looking at both of them and kind of talking to both of them. And it sounded like I said that the sure, Lyman Dykes.
That you needed her I needed to open your Christmas.
The crazy upper body strength that only a full-figured Dyke.
Jamaican Dyke.
Could produce, yeah. And I was sort of.
You would have used Lyman Dyke if
I would have.
I bet you that was Freudian.
I didn't.
By the way, I'm on her side a little bit.
I didn't want to say pliers.
No.
Like it's better to say, you know, instead
be
of
specific.
Saying, yeah, instead of saying
it's like an improv.
Blowing
you use is specific.
Right. Don't say blowtorch. Say acetylene cutting rig.
Sure.
It's more specific. Right. So instead of saying pliers, I said Lyman Dykes,
right,
but of course, she thought I was calling her. Yeah.
How could she not?
You know? A lazy lesbian.
You left her little choice, but to think that that's.
I did. Although at the time, I had no idea what was going on. And,
right.
And she didn't seem to indicate anything, and yeah, the segment went on, and it seemed to be successful.
What if you had told a story about taking your family to see Taxi?
Oh,
while she was out on the couch.
I'll get back to this story, but you guys understand.
Wait, real quick, is there any word I could say that wouldn't jog a story for you?
No.
Blue. Yeah, that reminds me. Have you ever?
It's one thing the Dykes don't do. Taxi with Jimmy Fallon and Queen Latifah. The story of Taxi, the premise of this modern day movie with two big stars in it was. She drove a cab in New York City, a yellow cab. But, Dax, you're a gearhead. Oh, you know how yeah, this works. Oh, yeah, the Philly doesn't look like they're going to win this one. when she hit a switch in her taxi, she'd have quad exhaust. A blower would yeah, come up from under the hood, which you know is sure, perfectly. That is a rock-solid premise.
Yeah, right.
A blower right, and an exhaust system yeah, can easily be...
Why not?
You hit a switch, the car got lowered, the rims got changed, and you could get from Manhattan to JFK in 18 minutes instead of the usual hour and
like
20 minutes.
Like you're limited by your top speed when going to JFK.
It's always about traffic, right, is it right, not? Right. It's never about, right, man, this
like
cab...
Like every cab's going 103... And she can go 150.
Right. No, it's more like you're running late for your flight. It's 2 in the morning. There's no traffic. And the other cabs are topped out at 29 miles an hour
yes,
on the freeway. Yeah. And you're going like, go,
right,
go, go. So that's the
if the cab turned into a motorcycle, it would be a
maybe,
great premise.
Maybe. But yeah, all it does is... It's if you'd added, well, it would work here in L.A. It's like saying, hey, at 5:30 in the afternoon on a Thursday, could you get to downtown any faster if your car had another 500 horsepower?
Right, right.
Answer, no.
Yeah, as a matter absolutely
fact,
not.
It just frustrates you.
Right.
It probably in fact, overheat.
It's likely to overheat. Yes.
Right, right. So that was the entire premise of this movie. He was
now
a
just I want to interject yeah, and say, as a gearhead, I did not see the movie.
Oh, because, you have to see it.
Because of the preview, I saw that ridiculous plastic blower
right,
that they Velcroed on the top.
Well, you hit a button, it comes
and,
up from
and,
the...
And then yeah, I was like, well, that's harder to believe than Superman flying.
Yeah.
And I can't buy into that premise.
The quad exhaust coming
yes,
out, too,
it
as if
too
somebody replumbed every... In total insanity... Anyway, so there I was on the couch with Queen Latifah, and the segment ended, and I didn't know anything was wrong. It was sort of that thing, like when you ever walk around with a piece of toilet paper stuck to the back of your shoe or some shit on the back of your pants yeah, or something, and you don't know it, but everyone else at the right, party's looking at
sure,
you. And I finished the segment, and all the little segment producers and the people, they all ran up to me. And it's like, what? Because now they're going to put it up on the satellite. But before they put it up on the satellite, they want to know what I said. And like, they're like, what did you say to Queen Latifah? And I what do you mean? What do you mean? Like, what are you talking about?
Wear your hood next time so we can see you coming.
Like, this is not a California pizza kitchen, you understand?
Right, this is national television.
This is national television. Yeah. You don't get away with this shit.
Right. You can't slink back to your host stand.
I don't care if you worked at a race shop. What'd you guys do, make Klan hoods at the race shop? Literally the race shop. I said, what do you mean? And she said, did you call her a dyke? I said, no, what do you mean? I didn't call her a dyke. And they said, we heard you. We heard you. You called her a dyke. Call her Lyman. Lyman Dyke. Lyman Dyke. Yeah. You said, or you looked there, you said Lyman Dyke.
Yeah.
I said, Lyman. I said, no, Lyman Dykes. And they all just looked at me. Now, they have to, keep
by
in
the
mind.
Way, the best explanation is always repeating the word they just said.
That
I
was,
find that
was
always works when my girlfriend does that.
There were,
where do you want to go? To Callie's house. Who's Callie? Callie's house. Yeah, that doesn't help me.
I also like when they yell, you know Callie. Yeah, I know her so well that I've asked you four times who the fuck is she. You're
it's
right.
There's a big ruse. There's a great punchline coming where I ask you four times on the fifth time.
You know her. I like when people say that. How about, evidently I don't know her, so why don't you just,
just waste
in a world where I don't know her, how would you describe her?
You know her. Yeah. You know her. I like when they get specific.
She's married to Scott. Well, now I know less.
You know her well. I like when people do that. Well, now I'm intrigued at what I don't know. Do I have a tumor?
So did you go in her dressing room and ask Jeeves about Lyman?
Well, I did go. When I had this weird, surreal moment where I was standing at the edge of the stage with all these producers and folks around me. And again, it was like, three gay guys and two 50-something-year-old super uptight chicks.
And one real lineman.
And I did one guy, Mac Davis, circa 1978.
You brought in.
Yeah. And I just said, I said, lineman Dykes, you know, Dykes. And I was looking at all the gays and the postmenopausal women with the Harvard degrees, and they're all looking at me. They had no idea. And there was a great moment where I went, no, you know, the Dykes, lineman Dykes. It's Dykes. It's just like a dyke. And at some point, one of them went, could you please stop shouting Dyke? And I went, oh, I realized these people had no idea what I was talking. I wanted to do like an ask Jay. Jay knows what he knows what I'm talking about. So I one of them had to like
the eat pussy. I know.
Diagonal cutters. Diagonal cutters.
They like each other's pussies. Yeah,
oh, diagonal cutters. So I think one of them like had to Google it or something, like make sure it actually existed. And then I had to do that move where I went by Queen Latifah's dressing room. With a poker face, you know what I mean? Like kicking.
Well, by the way, you're in a lose-lose situation because you either go in there and explain it to her, and she then goes, "Well, why would I be offended by you saying
a
dyke?
Right.
You just called me a dyke.
Right.
You can't win that.
I have no win, but I want to know what's going on. I want to put my toe in the pool, as it were, but I want to dive in the deep end, you know. Yeah. So I came by her dressing room, which was next to mine, and gave a hey, yeah, that was something out there, huh? Yay. Just seeing if she's got that look on her face, or she's pissed off, or people. She's got a couple of her people there. I don't know if they're like a. And I'm trying to replay, and of course, the bitch at the Tonight Show says, you looked right at her and said Lyman Dyke while you were looking at her.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, with the adrenaline and the whole thing, I was like, really? I looked at her and called her? Like, oh my God, I don't remember. Because I know I was kind of spreading it around, but I don't remember.
Well, no, I'm going to suggest something else happened. Because you think very quickly. So I do think that you earnestly were saying Lyman Dyke.
I know, but
before your mouth said it, your brain processed the word before it came out. And I do think you looked at her because you knew you might be in trouble.
Interesting.
Even though you were already in the process of saying it, you triggered so fast of like, oh, my God. And then you looked right at the person you were afraid was going to take it wrong.
It's hard to hear the phrase lineman 200 times and then say lineman.
Yeah.
You want to say lineman. Right. You want to say, or vice versa. I went home I went into a room and putzed around a little bit, like
kicking the tires, just trying to figure out what kind of mood she was in. She seemed cool. Like, right. It didn't seem to be an issue. Her posse was all right. So I went home, and then I just paced for like 3 hours until it came on because I couldn't figure out, did I look right at her when I
showed it? Down the barrel.
Sure enough, I saw it on the show that night. They kept it in.
They didn't bring you to the VO it and say pliers over
pliers. and I did not look at her when I said that, by the way. I do like, by the way, when people, especially women or the gays, have to make a point, and they want to make a point, and in order to make their point, it's okay to lie because they have a point to make. Right. Like they'll go... Instead of saying, this guy was rude to me, they'll go, he came up and kicked me right in the shins. And he'll go like, what? No, I didn't. And they're like, all right, he didn't do it, but that's my point is he was rude, and that's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah. Their point was, I looked right at her. I did not look right at her. I was looking at Jay.
Sure.
So it's weird. Like, are they lying, or is it like a worst case, weird sort of panties in a bunch scenario? Like, why do people do that? And don't you feel like they do it too often?
I do. And they use the word literally too often.
Yes. Literally jumped out of my skin.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. I was so scared, I literally jumped out.
She walks in, I literally shit my pants.
Yeah. Literally.
Literally shit your pants.
Literally shit my pants.
Are you sure you didn't figuratively shit your pants?
Yeah, our agent does that a lot, James Dixon. I literally got this guy over a fucking barrel.
In his office.
Where are you getting these barrels?
It's quite a bargaining.
And that was Dax Shepard hanging out on Football Sunday.
Adam Carolla Show 474, back from January 2011.
Yeah, love those live shows. They're fun, they're loose, and they contain great apps. Thanks, Happy.
Indeed.
All right, we have one more clip for everybody, and it is the Rotten Tomatoes game.
The 36th installment. This is from Adam Carolla Show 1505. Mark Duplass and Jay Duplass were the guests. In the future, we'll play their interview segment because it's great. Every time they're on, it's really fun. They have a really good rapport with Adam. This is just the Rotten Tomatoes game with Kira Sultanovich filling in on news, along with Brian Bishop and Matt Achety. Check it out.
All right. What is the theme?
Gene Hackman turned 85 this past weekend. He has retired from film.
Oh.
I know. Huge loss. He is writing books, but I thought we would go through Gene Hackman movies.
All right.
There's a lot of good ones.
All right.
First up, 1971. This is an Oscar nominee. He won the Oscar for Best Actor for this movie. It is The French Connection.
Popeye Doyle.
I just saw this for the first time maybe 4 or 5 months ago.
Wow.
Did it hold up?
It did. It's like a gritty movie. Yeah. It feels like very 70s, but it's enjoyable, engaging.
I don't know if I've ever seen the whole thing. Critics must have liked this movie when it came out. It got a lot of critical praise and some Oscar buzz. And he said nominated. I think the film was nominated.
Nominated for Best Picture. He won.
All right. I'm going to say 84%.
I said 93, and I might be low.
I said 74.
98.
Wow.
Wow.
That is very high. All right. Brian out to a lead.
All right. Next up, we saw Gene Hackman take on Denzel Washington under the sea in a submarine, arguing over who was going to be in command. 1995, Crimson Tide.
Mm. I love this movie.
Yeah, I did too.
It's rewatchable too. Like, it comes on HBO or whatever once in a while. Completely dive in, no pun intended, whenever it's on.
Yeah, very good. But action, they're not always, they're tough on action films as a genre.
Tony Scott,
passed the script done by Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, really?
The whole Silver Surfer scene, that's all
back.
Tarantino.
And some Scotty's, Star Trek talk. Yeah. There's a lot of Tarantino stuff.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. All right.
Hold on.
All right. Everyone locked in? Yeah. 79%.
I said 79 also.
Wow. 89.
87.
Oh! Ooh. It's getting hot in here.
I'm surprised it's so high. Honestly, this seems like a movie that critics wouldn't have gotten behind, but it's great. I love this movie.
It's a great movie.
I agree.
All right, next up, same year, 1995, that mid-90s period is when Gene Hackman had like 20 movies coming out all in like 3 years. This is a movie he did for Sam Raimi. It's a Western, also stars Sharon Stone, Leo DiCaprio, The Quick and the Dead.
Oh, yes.
I didn't see it. Shit. I have no idea here. Sharon Stone. Fuck.
Russell Crowe early in his career.
Yeah. I don't know if this was
Did anybody win anything for that? Or was that ever in any contenders for that?
Okay.
No,
question.
Don't get this mixed up with him working on Unforgiven.
Okay.
Or Wyatt Earp. This is the movie that was shot in Blamovision.
All right. Brian's going back and readjusting now.
Yeah, the Blamo. Is that what made you readjust,
Brian? I think that did that. All right, I because I have integrity and intestinal fortitude, I stuck with what I wrote down, 51.
I did confuse this with the Wyatt Earp, and I crossed it out and wrote down 34. I think this was a disaster. I said 34.
Oh, man. I went way too high. 75.
55.
Oh!
I had 44. I lost 10 points.
Now, wait a minute. What did you end up with?
34 is what I guessed.
34.
I crossed out 44.
This is... This is tight, heading into the championship rounds, people.
All right, next up, 1998 saw Gene Hackman team with Will Smith in a movie that basically brought him back to his role from The Conversation. The movie is Enemy of the State.
Mm.
Oh, I never saw that one.
I never saw it either.
Never saw it either.
I saw it on cable all the time. You guys never saw it? Come on.
Actively avoid.
What's the theme of that movie?
Will Smith is the lawyer who he's chased by the NSA, and Gene Hackman is the surveillance expert that's helping him escape the NSA and too much surveillance.
Okay.
Back when the NSA was worried more about black people than other
That's
people.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay,
that's right.
Got it. Now no Blamovision in this one?
No.
Okay.
No Blamovision.
Okay.
By the way, now we're moving into Brown. Before you know it, Whitey's going to be on the run. You know what I mean?
Don't worry. Jews before you guys. Don't worry. You guys
All
are
right.
okay.
Well,
yeah.
You'll be our
Jews before yous.
Little,
Wow.
It's a Jewish Italian.
The New York
You
style.
Can be our little big beak canary in the coal mine. So something happened. Well, okay. All right. I'm saying people didn't love it. They didn't hate it. 62.
40. Oh.
Wow. I said 63.
78.
Jesus.
What? Wow.
That's the death blow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right
71.
There.
71. I had the wrong story.
That's
sorry.
Still, that's a death blow.
Wow. Kira, really?
I was
so disappointed you didn't see that. I poured over this list trying to figure out the ones that you would have seen.
And Gene Hackman spoke at my high school. I should have seen everything from that moment on.
What was your score, you guessed?
Kira? I said 63.
The third chair has never won this game.
Yes.
So this
I had
be
62. He spoke at your high school?
He did, yeah.
About what?
I went to a school of the farts, one of those, like, we dance on cafeteria tables. Mm-hmm. And so he came and talked to all the dancers and musicians and actors. And
really?
Yeah, it was huge. And guess what? Guess who else spoke at my high school?
Who?
Me. What a bummer for those kids.
Oh, you mean you came back?
I went back.
Oh, I thought you just asked if you could use the bathroom or something.
No, I came back years later.
Oh, that's devastation.
Oh, it's such a ripoff for those kids.
I
feel so bad for them.
I hope there was someone between you and Gene Hackman so the kids can get the bends. Okay.
Aisha Tyler went to that high school. Margaret Cho.
Okay.
And Sam.
Three times, fool.
And Sam Rockwell. So, I don't know. I guess they were busy.
I fucking love Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, he's great.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. All right.
Have you guys seen The Conversation? The Gene Hackman movie?
No, can't remember.
That's another one I saw a few months ago. Does not hold up.
Mm. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I totally think that holds up.
Wrong.
Well, you guys are on the different end of the tomato spectrum. All right. Last one.
Last one. 2004 film that is Gene Hackman's final film performance.
2004.
He plays a semi-retired vice president, moves to a little town, runs for mayor opposite Ray Romano. Welcome to Mooseport.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
This is kind of my argument of you got one shot at carrying a movie. Like Ray Romano is a hot stand-up. He had a huge show, starred in a big-time syndication and all that kind of stuff. Very popular sitcom. And now he's going to try headline a movie. But he gets one shot and one shot only to be the lead on that poster. And if it doesn't work out, you can go back into playing friends of the friend and that kind of stuff. But that's my example of everyone gets one shot, but if they don't bust through, and this one didn't bust through. Welcome to Mooseport or whatever. Saw bits and pieces of it. You know, it's like kind of likable, but the critics aren't going to like this one. All right, Brian, you got to try something desperate here. It's haymaker time for you. Kira, man, I think we're all knotted up here.
Pretty close.
And I'm going to say, I didn't like this one, 36%.
Shit, I went 25.
Okay, I said 57.
13.
Oh! Brian just picked up a lot, but Kira knocked herself right out of the running.
I sure did.
Oh, that was perfect. Boy.
Well, I got a soft spot for
Dean. This was not that bad of a movie. It's a bad movie. It's not
13%. It was not 13% bad.
It's
bad.
Is this Gene Hackman's last movie?
His final film performance.
We should put him in some gay porn or something so he can salvage some dignity for his career.
Just scrape back.
We got to do something. I mean,
that's fucking Lex Luthor.
But what? Huh?
That's fucking Lex Luthor. This can't be his last film.
That's the point is this. Fighters who have these careers where they overstay their welcome. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you see Larry Holmes beating up Muhammad Ali, and he's literally looking at the ref saying, please stop me from punching this man, this legend, one more time. I'm tired of beating this guy up. Right. When are you going to put an end to this? And it's sad. Also, by the way, I believe Muhammad Ali's mustache robbed him of all his powers.
Really?
He was doing fine. And then he grew a mustache and it all went away. He turned into Dwayne Bobbick at that point. But the point is, he was doing good until he grew the mustache.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to grow mine.
No, you got to keep waxing.
I do.
By the way, they used to bleach. And I'm always like, well, now you look like Nick Nolte. But what? I can see you have a blonde mustache. There are blonde guys with mustaches. All right. Anyway.
82%.
Then, at some point, Larry Holmes is in there with Mike Tyson, and you're going, oh, this is sad. Larry Holmes was such a great champion, and Mike Tyson. You overstay your welcome. Yep. Now, what you do, if you go out as a heavyweight, and you have this incredible career, and then you just get devastated by the next you, essentially. Usually they set up one more fight so that you can end your career with your hand held up in the air instead of a pummeled bloody mess. You know what I mean? Get some tomato can, put him out there. What I'm saying with Hackman, I'm going to unretire his ass. Shove him in some Tarantino film where he just says three words or something so he can literally be just credited on his
cameo.
Just IMDb page. Yeah. That'll be at the end when he hits the grave. That'll be at the top. Not Mooseport.
Good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
His final film could have been The Royal Tenenbaums.
That would have been a fitting tribute.
That would have been a great note to go out on. But no, he had to go do Mooseport.
Yeah. And I don't like the Tannenbaum stuff, but Mooseport, this is no way for a legend to go out.
That's night and day in terms of quality of those two films.
All right. If you added it up, Gary? Ace Man, 58. Bald Brian, 77. And Kira, 98. Yeah, that last one,
that was awful.
Was a massacre. I think it's two in a row for the Ace Man. Rotten or fresh! Not that the Ace Man likes to brag about the Ace Man. Ace Man would never do that.
No, of course not.
That'd be in poor taste.
Good. How can you speak for him like that?
And that was a Rotten Tomatoes game back in 2015, the 36th one ever played, with guest newsgirl Kira Sultanovich.
And we'll make
Gina kind of had the job at this point, but they were also putting some other people in. Yeah. It was weird.
It was a little weird, but it all worked out. And looking forward to hearing the Duplass brothers on the show in a future Corolla Classics.
Oh, by the way, I've loved hearing Teresa as the Philly news gal for Houston's Great.
Oh, good, good. And she was in studio for the Thursday show this week, Adam's birthday show.
So make sure. She was. She's always awesome when she's on the show. It's great hearing her.
Yeah, I agree. It was a real treat. All right, before we get out of here, I want to once again remind everybody about Geico. Look, everybody's sharing more online. Your videos, your songs, your ramblings, whatever. We want to hear it. And Geico wants to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star, your DIY haircut fails, all that. But now it's Geico's turn to share too with the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because Geico's committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. So visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. That'll do it for Corolla Classics. We'll be back tomorrow. As Gio said, subscribe to Corolla Classics, the podcast, to get our Sunday episodes. If you like this one, you will love tomorrow. And we'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.